Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And the Tony Award goes to The Normal Heart.
Fresh from seeing his 1983 work win a Tony Award for Best Revival last night is playwright and activist Larry Kramer. I'm going to let Ellen Barkin finish the introduction with this excerpt from her acceptance speech when she won Best Featured Actress in a Play. She said of her role,
"It has transformed me, not just as an actor, but as a human being. Because it taught me something that I never believed in. It taught me that one person can make a difference, that one person can change the world. So thank you to the great, great Larry Kramer."
Ellen Barkin at the Tonys last night, and we welcome Larry Kramer back to WNYC. Larry, welcome back and congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's nice to hear all that applause.
And although it was a triumph, in your speech you pointed out that you could not have written it had so many needlessly, had not so many needlessly died, since this, of course, was about AIDS. So how bittersweet was it, actually?
Oh, Leonard, the whole experience has been very surreal. It's exciting, but it's not untinged with sadness because there's so many ghosts in the play. And it brings back so many memories, and I must confess that this cast is so spectacular that when I do stop in to see little bits of it, it still makes me cry. What can I say?
Yeah, and, you and I have had many conversations over the years about AIDS, and you've been on as an activist, and you've been on adamant, and you've been on angry, and you've been on analytical, and then to see you in this world of glitz and glitter and applause and gowns and, you know, tuxedos and the whole thing, I mean, for me, it's almost out of context to see Larry Kramer
totally
this way.
Thank you for saying it. It's been totally out of context. I go to these lunches and these dinners with all of these, you know, these wonderful theater people, and I say, why am I sitting here? What has this got to do with my life or what I've been through?
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Larry Kramer, AIDS activist and now Tony Award winner. For those listening right now who don't know the play, can you, in just a minute or so, just encapsulate it? I mean, you changed the names, but it's a documentary of sorts, right?
Everything in the play happened, and it's basically about a group of us who were confronted with this terrible thing that was happening in New York City in 1981, where people, our friends, were just suddenly dying around us, and we didn't know what it was, and we couldn't get any help. Mayor Koch was out to lunch. Reagan was out to lunch. We couldn't get office space. Even the gay community itself didn't want to know about what was happening, and it was very, very painful and difficult to, you know, hack it all out somehow and get space for an office and try to take care of our own friends who were sick and all of that. It's hard for people to understand what it was like. You couldn't walk down a street without running into, you know, someone who told you about someone else who had died or someone else who was sick or committed suicide. People were dying like flies.
Yep.
And it was just gay people, and so the straight world didn't want to know, literally. I'll never forgive Mayor Koch, a closeted gay man, for turning his back on his brothers. I will never forgive him for that.
And he's treated pretty roughly in the play.
Not nearly as roughly as he deserves.
It's interesting because Koch, who came into conflict with various groups, certainly there was a lot of, you know, racial controversy around Koch and other things. He seems to have been kind of forgiven by a lot of people who were his adversaries at the time. And his image has softened, but not with you.
No, I will go to my grave never forgetting how difficult it was to get in touch with him in any sort of way. Even he had a gay man called Herb Rickman, an openly gay man who was presumably his liaison to the gay community. I couldn't even get him on the phone. And that's when I had not been an activist, excuse me, before this. And I can think that he made me an activist because I had been very successful in the film industry. I had made a lot of money. I had been assistant to the president of both Columbia and United Artists. I had handled budgets worth and millions of dollars and supervised staffs of hundreds. And I was not used to not being able to get a lowly assistant on the telephone. And I couldn't get Herb Rickman on the telephone. And I will never forget how angry that made me.
And for the record, you called Ed Koch a gay man. He has never declared a sexuality one way or another, as far as I know.
No, well, we located a lover of his, a guy called Richard Nathan, who had been exiled to California, paid off and gone to California.
Or at least an alleged lover. You never know in that realm, right?
And he was prepared to come back to New York. This was about 83, and say Ed Koch was gay. But they got to him, and he never came.
Larry Kramer, my guest on WNYC, founder of ACT UP, playwright, some of the other things that he was just describing that he had done before, and now, as of last night, a Tony Award winner. We have a couple of minutes for phone calls. Anybody want to get in and say hello?
I don't want to talk to anybody.
You don't want to talk to anybody?
I don't want to talk to anybody, no.
You know, there was actually, I don't know if you remember this or not, there was a moment on this show years ago where we were talking about age, you and I, and there was a caller who was pursuing some, you know, I can't remember what his line of attack was, but he was attacking your position and ACT UP and definitely bordering on homophobia in the way he was doing it. And you at that moment became one of the only guests to actually hang up and exit the program before your segment was over.
I don't remember, but it doesn't surprise me.
But then as soon as he was gone, you called back and we finished it up. But have you had bad experiences in general with talking to the public? Is that why you don't want to take calls?
Well, I find that most of the people who call are usually crazies and who have nothing better to do but sort of get on the other end of the line and vent. This is, if you ever read the comments that are posted on internet articles on Huffington or any of those things, they're all crazy people, most of them.
Well, not all. And I think our callers tend to be pretty thoughtful, but whatever. A number of critics of the play said they were surprised by how nuanced the message was, how much you give even the characters you fight with their due. Even people who saw the original production say that back in the 80s, that you were always more subtle than you got credit for.
Well, that's good to hear. It's nice that the play has been recognized as a piece of writing and not sort of as a piece of agitprop, which is late in coming, but it's nice to have better late than never. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Tonys themselves, if we could.
Because, sure.
Because no one ever, having, suddenly we got all these nominations, and one begins to wonder who nominates you and who votes for you, and no one seems to be able to answer that question satisfactorily. Who are the nominees? The nominators, I mean, who are the people who choose what the membership votes on, and who indeed is a membership? I discovered there were people who were Tony voters who had absolutely nothing to do with the theater at all, or haven't had anything to do with the theater for many, many years, and are still voters. That doesn't seem fair to me somehow. And then you find out that many of the voters are people who run these big theaters where the touring companies go. So, of course, they want a Book of Mormon to win because that's something they're going to be able to bring to their theater or in Dallas or Seattle or whatever. And it's all about money and big business. It doesn't seem to have much to do with art or theater. And then another thing, and I was surprised in talking to so many people in the theater who are involved in the theater who are afraid to say this, is that, you know, why do we so welcome the Brits to come over here and take our awards away from us? They don't give us awards in England. Not only don't they give us awards in England, they don't even let American actors come in as readily to perform in an American play in England as we allow the Brits to come in over here. Why are we so, you know, in awe of the Brits? And they come along, and they take the awards away. And this is particularly true in the case of drama, you know, War Horse or whatever it's called. It's a piece of theater. It's like Cirque du Soleil. What does that mean that it's the best play? It is not the best play. And then Mark Rylance gets up and he makes another one of his stupid acceptance speeches, which is sort of, you know, it's sort of, doesn't he take his award seriously that he's come over and grabbed away from an American actor that he has to make fun of his award?
He said he wanted to win all of them or something, right?
Whatever. This is the second time he did it. When he was in Boeing, he gets up there and he says gibberish. It's insulting. There ought to be a special award, a special category for Brits, you know, for imports or something like that.
Yeah, and there are, I mean, in the Oscars, there's best foreign film, and yet we know the Oscars love British films too, whoever does that voting. By the way, according to Wikipedia, we just looked it up, it's a rotating group of up to 30 theater professionals selected by the Tony Awards Administration Committee that does the nominations. At least that's how it's on Wikipedia.
What does that mean? The owner of Sardi's could be one of those people. It's true. The people who own the restaurants and they get to vote. I mean, what are we talking about here?
So how do you think this affected your play, Normal Heart, winning Best Revival?
I don't know. I think the play was, this particular production is just so dynamite that it's pretty hard to ignore. The other thing is that, you know, why is it worth a Tony now and it wasn't worth a Tony in 1985 when it was first done and got equally marvelous reception? It was because it was done off-Broadway, and that's a whole other kettle of fish, is that why aren't plays that are done off-Broadway eligible for Tonys? Just because it's done in a smaller theater, suddenly you're not eligible, and that doesn't seem to be fair either. So it's all this protectionism of the Broadway theater that you can't let the little guy come in and compete with you, and that's not fair either. So much of the best writing that's being done today is being done off-Broadway, you know, at Playwrights Horizons and Manhattan Theater Club and places like that, and they're not eligible. You know, the same play that was done in 1985 is the play that was done here in New York. I didn't change a word of it. So anyway.
Larry Kramer, ever the activist, even in winning a Tony Award.
Yeah.
Does the play, in your opinion, we've just got a minute left, I'm curious if you think audiences see the same play differently today, considering where the AIDS crisis was in 1983 compared to where it is today, since it's the same play. Is it supposed to mean something different to the audience now?
Well, I think in 85 everybody thought it sounded like a crazy person, and now all of the things that the play says have come true, so it has a slightly different pattern, and I think also so many people have lost friends and family.
What'd you think when you saw Justin Bieber wear an ACT UP t-shirt to the Country Music Awards, if you even know who Justin Bieber is? Or do you worry that young people today see yesterday's activism as merely cool?
As really what? Cool?
As merely cool.
I don't know. Kids are suddenly becoming a little more interesting in our history than they used to be. The audiences at the Normal Heart now are quite often very young, straight and gay, and that's incredibly moving. The New Yorker, one of the New Yorker critics, actually wrote
a we have 10 seconds left.
In which he said it should be done in high schools.
Larry Kramer, AIDS activist, playwright, now Tony Award winner for Best Revival last night, and Ellen Barkin won for her role in it. Thanks a lot, Larry. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, thanks a lot for listening today. Tomorrow with Elliot Spitzer, among other guests. Talk to you then.